United States of America, known as Land of the Free, Home of the Brave, has come to symbolize freedom throughout the world. People from all nations and from all walks of life have called the United States home. The United States has welcomed them with open arms. Indeed, the famed Statue of Liberty is the embodiment of this dream. In New York's public education system alone, its student body represents 145 countries. The United States has a deep affinity with Supreme Master Ching Hai. With her boundless love and compassion, Supreme Master Ching Hai has provided humanitarian assistance to many parts of the United States. In 1993, she sent relief teams to provide financial and material assistance to the victims of the 6 Midwestern states that were severely affected by heavy rain and flooding. On December 27, 1997, at the benefit concert, A Journey Through Aesthetic Realms, Supreme Master Ching Hai generously contributed $100,000 each to the Vietnam Children's Fund and the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. The following year, at another benefit concert, One World of Peace Through Music, she once more contributed generously, with 2 charity organizations being the recipients of her love. St. Jude Children's Research Hospital received $150,000, and the Starlight Children's Foundation received a check for $100,000. Additionally, in the face of one of the worst human tragedies ever to occur on U.S. soil, on September 11, 2001, Supreme Master Ching Hai responded immediately, sending relief teams from around the country and all over the world to Ground Zero in New York City. Supreme Master Ching Hai's financial contributions amounted to over $300,000 to organizations aiding the victims. To this day, Supreme Master Ching Hai continues to extend her loving compassion to all the parts of the U.S., from Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky, and Alabama, to California, Florida, Texas, Hawaii, and other states. We now invite you to listen to the following lecture by Supreme Master Ching Hai entitled, Enlightenment is the Tool for Everything, given on April 14, 1993, in Washington, D.C., USA.
Supreme Master Ching Hai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
Good evening. I promise you, first of all, that I won't delay you long from the Master. I know there are many other places where you might be tonight, but I'm happy for you that you've chosen to be here with the Supreme Master Ching Hai. I could naively take credit and say that it is because of my efforts that I stand before you tonight. But I know that without the Master's help, I would be anywhere but here. I don't know the method or means by which the Master helps, nor do I believe that it is important to satisfy my mind in this way. I am convinced that even before I formally knew the Master Ching Hai, the Master was already guiding me towards the path to eternal life and liberation. In fact, the Master often speaks about the ability of the Master to do without doing. I could recount to you numerous experiences where the Master has answered my need for help. In some circumstances, the Master intervened even before I realized the seriousness of my plight. On other occasions, the master appeared as teacher to help me to begin to know the real worlds. In general, my life has taken on a stillness unknown to me before. From the moment of my initiation, I have been permeated by the sound. However, instead of listening to my accounts of experiences, I believe that for those of you who have long searched and come here tonight full of hope, it will be music to your ears to hear that your search for the key to enlightenment is over. My search for the key to enlightenment ended when I was invited to practice the Kuan Yin meditation. The culmination of my blessing was my subsequent initiation by the Supreme Master Xinghai. While I don't know the full nature of the Master, I do know that the Master's nature is rooted in love. For those of you who have been seeking the truth, I urge you to take this opportunity that may never again in this life come before you. Here sits before you a Supreme Master who has traveled a very long distance and yet seeking nothing from you, neither fame nor fortune. The only things asked of you are that you be faithful to your meditation and that you neither do harm to other beings or to yourself. Please listen in a way that you've never listened before, for the Master brings you a message of true love. In turn, you stand to gain eternal life and eternal liberation. Once again, please join me in welcoming Master Xinghai.
I'm so overwhelmed by your love and the welcome program. I was very tired after journey and also many days of sleepless. But I feel very, very blessed and joyful to join the congregation tonight. I'm sure we will know each other as we have known each other. And there's nothing new to all of us tonight. But let's just remind each other of what we might have forgotten, or what we have placed in some very remote corner of our soul and did not have the opportunity to reopen it. That is the enlightening nature of our great selves. I'm overwhelmed not only because of your love, but because of the realization that I'm sitting before the Buddhas and God manifestation. And that brought tears of joy into my heart. It's not always that I'm blessed with such realization while sitting with multitude of people. It just tonight it happened. And this is beautiful. Especially when sometimes I was also kind of discouraged in the last few days. I was thinking whether what I'm doing is truly worthwhile. But tonight, because of your love and your very highly developed spiritual wisdom, I feel I will continue. I know I will continue. And if in the near future, during my tour, if I have any success in bringing people's happiness and God realization, I will remember Washington, D.C.'s people. Thank you so much. I really need it tonight. It's very good. You see, enlightenment is already within us. Therefore, whatever our fellow initiates credited to me, I should not accept. Because it is all yours. Whatever greatness, whatever blessing you receive during the course of development in your spiritual training or rediscovery, it is all yours. But because humility is a nature of a highly developed spiritual brotherhood, therefore they always credited all the miraculous power, all the blessings to the master, whoever that master may be, that happened to be experienced in the path and show them to rediscover it themselves. If you were not already enlightened, if your nature were not Buddha, I would never be able to make you a Buddha. If God is not already within yourself, I would never be able to show you God inside you. I cannot make a stone into a diamond, however long I polish it. You understand? Yes. So, with all my humbleness, I just would like to tell you that you are very great. You are the Supreme Master, and we are all one. There is nothing I should teach you except to point to you your precious jewel that you have placed in your pocket and you have forgotten, because you're too busy looking elsewhere for it. Many a times you do that. You put things in your pocket, your eyeglasses, or money, or whatever, important things, and you forgot they are so near to you. You keep looking to search the whole house, every corner, you never find it. And so you thought, seeking for your own treasure is so difficult. Actually, it is not true, because we just don't know where to look for it, and that is all. And some friends stand around and just say, hey, it's in your pocket. That is the job of the master, the so-called master. Yeah. Therefore, the master, since ancient time, if they are called by the title master, by the disciples, actually, they are just like one of us. They should be very humble, and they have all the human qualities that we have. And they do not know that they are the master. But because of the experiences of the disciples, people credit that as the master. Just like we say, by your fruit shall you be known. Yes. So anyhow, master or not master, it is not important. The important thing is that experienced friend, which we call master, can show us where our greatness is. And then we make use of it. There's so much vast difference between an enlightened person and a non-enlightened person. even though both of them are exactly the same in quality, have exactly the same wisdom, and possess the same greatness. I just could not tell you how different. I just know it is different. And many of our disciples know that after initiation, right? Some of you would know, yes. And then after that, you talk to other people who were not yet initiated, not yet rediscover the partial quality of their wisdom, they will see a vast difference between them. Even though on the outlook, there's no distinction. Enlightenment can be likened unto someone who already stepped inside the house. Doesn't matter how near he is to the door, yeah, and how far he has already advanced into the depth of the house in order to discover how much treasure there is inside. Once he steps inside the house, he's out of the cold, out of the danger of the wolves, the tigers, and other nature disasters should it come by. There is a very big difference. Once we are in the house, we know what is inside. If we are near the door, we know at least the inner interior design. And if we step further into different rooms of our house, we will discover the treasures and all the furnitures, all the precious things that are within the house. And we may go back outside and tell the people what's inside. And the people outside of the house may listen to the story and may repeat it again to someone else that something there, certain set in the house. But there is a difference between repeating and seeing and enjoying, and also derive the benefit from the safety of being inside the house. Some people ask me, it's okay, I don't need enlightenment, what for? Yeah. Is it okay not to be enlightened? I say, yes, it is okay. There's no choice anyhow. But when we are outside the house, sometimes it is safe, sometimes it is sunny, but sometimes it's rain, sometimes it's typhoon, a lot of things happen. And once we know we have a house, we can even step out sometimes. But whenever we want or necessary, we step inside. And there is such wonderful things inside the chamber of our soul that no worldly things could equal. And nothing of this world can bring such happiness to us as when we discover our true greatness. The more we discover how great we are, the more humble we become. And that is the very paradoxical thing. But it is like that. Because we will become like a child. We will become like a very innocent person. The great saint is like a very innocent person. And it seems like you can tell him anything you want about your talent, about your ambition, about your intelligence, about your degrees, and he will never object you. It's not that he will always try to force his wisdom upon you. It only comes naturally by circumstances or by request. And after speaking, most probably, the so-called master will forget everything that has been spoken, completely. Maybe just remember one or two sentences, or maybe none. Because the wisdom comes from the universal storehouse of the common use of all beings. It doesn't belong to one person or a group of any person. It belongs to the ignorant as well as the enlightened. It belongs to the child as well as to an aged senior citizen. Everyone has share of this wisdom. Only if we truly want to know it. By knowing this wisdom, we do not forsake the world. We will not lack of the enjoyment of the world, but actually we enjoy the world more when the opportunity is there. And even when the opportunity is not there, we'll be happy all the same. And that's the difference. That is the only difference. Because if we do not know our enlightened nature, we always crave for some things that will bring us happiness, or we think they will bring us happiness. Therefore, we become sometimes ambitious, seeking fame and name, seeking properties, seeking beauty, seeking ephemeral love, etc., thinking these will bring us happiness, until we realize that these only breed sorrow most of the time. Only when we are truly enlightened, then we can enjoy anything. Whatever comes, we enjoy. The good things come, then we take it as a gift from God, and we enjoy wholeheartedly, without any guilt, without any reservation, without any obstacle whatsoever in our heart or in our thinking. Because the nature of the enlightened person is very free, very carefree, very easy, just like a child. If you give him something good, he accepts it. He will not think that you want to trick him or whether he deserves it or not. He just accepts. And when the circumstance does not allow that we have comfort or richness in life, then we are also happy carry on that way. We have no desire for material greatness. But that doesn't mean that we do not strive to work for the society and that we do not try our best to fulfill our obligation as a citizen of the world. We do. We do. All the same, we do more effectively and with all willingness to contribute our part to the whole world. The difference is that we do without desire for reward, without desire for praise. And should we fail, or should even people misunderstand us of our goodwill, well, we still can bear it. We will not have any suffering in our heart. Many of our fellow practitioners have told me that after enlightenment, they are much different than before. They know more than before. They understand many things that they never understood before. And they are so different from what they were before. Because I have forgotten what it's like to be before or to be after enlightenment. So sometimes difficult for me to know what they were talking about. But then sometimes I happen to meet and talk or stay and integrate with some of the non-initiate people, then I realize what they were talking about. Then I know what the difference between an enlightened person and a not enlightened person. That is no discrimination. No, no. It's just a statement of what it is, of the reality. Therefore, it's not a proud statement, it's just a realization of the difference between a person who steps inside the house and a person outside. And if I have not the opportunity to truly have a very deep understanding with the non-initiated people sometimes, I would have forgotten. Because most often I see people as myself. I forgot whether I am enlightened or they are not enlightened. I have never remembered these things when I meet people. And that's why sometimes, apart from feeling kind of discouraged during my mission, I also felt in my heart deep down that there's no need to teach anybody. There's no need to run around the world, no need to answer the invitation of my disciples worldwide, because I thought there's no need to do it, because I don't see any necessity. But then, just when I think like that, sometimes the Almighty Power would remind me that it is necessary, because there is a big difference between knowing you have a treasure and can make use of it, and just knowing you have a treasure but do not know where and how to use it. There is a big difference. Therefore, if I continue to travel around the world according to the sincere request of the disciples, it is because of these instances that I know some people do not know that they are great and they long to know. Not because we want to be proud of our greatness, but it is a duty to know our heritage. We cannot just be born into this world and live a few decades of hectic schooling, working, sweating, earning money, struggling with children and family problems, and then kaput, finished. Nothing more to that, nothing more to life, nothing more to the great meaning of human life. And worse still, at the time of living this world, we suffer. We suffer because of the attachment with our family ties, members. We suffer because we do not know where we are going. We suffer because of the fear of the unknown. And the whole family members, all the beloved ones, just standing us around helpless, seeing us suffering. Therefore, the great way of a gentleman is enlightenment. We must know where we come from and where we are going. Very clearly. Very decisively. Because we are a great human being. We live a life of a hero. We walk life of God on earth. We should not live like slaves to our money, to our possession, to our whatever desires that the world has labeled, has found a way to stick it on to our mind. We were not born with desires. We were not born with hatred. We were not born with racist discrimination. We were born innocent and beautiful. So we should remain like that. And we should even be wiser, apart from being innocent. That's the way of a gentleman. That's the way of the great beings. If we worship Jesus, if we adore Buddha, if we long to worship, to bow to the sages of the Himalayas, of the ancient time, then we should know that we could be one of them. There is no difference between a sage and ourselves. Only one hair apart, very thin. And when you traverse that, we are there, in the circle of sainthood. And if we stay behind just one hair apart, we are ignorant beings, bowing down to all pressures of the world, fearing all kind of things and persons and beings, and knowing not what we are before and after our life. Even then, so we have eyes, but we are just like blind persons. We have ears, but we're just like being deaf, because heavenly teachings we do not hear. Heavenly kingdoms we do not see. Our greatness we cannot perceive. It is a very great pity if we continue our life like that. And we want so much to help the world. We want so much to bring peace into our earth, to make it into heaven. But how do we do it if we don't have wisdom? How do we do it if we are not above average? How can our head keep from being wet if we are not above water? So enlightenment is a tool for everything in this life and the life after. We travel far and wide into the galaxies of the universe. We know things that even the most brilliant scientists in this world are dumbfounded. That is the ability of a human being. A true human being is not flesh and bones only. It's not the outer appearance of beauty and charm, but it is a great storage of wisdom, of almighty power that could move mountains and do all kind of marvelous miracle powers. Whatever Jesus has done is child play. Whatever Buddha has cared to demonstrate while he was on earth is just a joke. Because what he can, what Jesus can, what Buddha can, is above all that even. It's billion, trillion times greater than that. And we can. That's what I discover. And that's what I would like to remind you. As soon as we draw our attention inside, and do not care much for the material comfort and possession. Doesn't mean we leave them. We stay in the same house, eat the food that we can afford, wear the clothes that we think fit for the occasions. But our attention is not there anymore. That's the important thing. Not the things in themselves are the obstacle to our sainthood. It is our attention that is the obstacle. Therefore, the attention we should withdraw inward. And then we know everything that Jesus knows, that Buddha knows, and all the sages of old and future we know. Because our nature is like that. Just like you put a diamond in your pocket, and if you look all over, even you look all over the world, you never find. Not only in your house, you search the whole world, you will never find the diamond if you don't know where it is. All the while it's in your pocket.
Supreme Master Qinghai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
Thank you for your loving presence for today's episode of Words of Wisdom. Please join us again Friday for part two of Enlightenment is the Tool for Everything. Now, please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television for Models of Success, coming up next after Noteworthy News. God bless and farewell for now.
For more details, please visit www.SupremeMasterTV.com/WOW.